The next topic, heroic tragedy. Introduction. If the age of restoration, 1660 to 17, is one of the most splendid period in the annals of the English drama, it is primarily on account of comedy of manners. This kind of comedy, brilliant witty, albeit and little licentious here and there, was an authentic reflection of the age, of the society of the age. The so-called heroic tragedy, which had a brief run currently with the comedy of manners, had also a modicum of popularity, but was too settled and artificial, and so, and to some extent merely a transplant from the French soil. A heroic tragedy of restoration, for the example, Dryden, the conquest of Granada. Dryden, the conquest of Granada, or Tyrannic Love, is much less representative of the ethos of Restoration society than a comedy of manners. What is a heroic play? A heroic play, and the most heroic play, and end unhappily, and hence a tragedy, like a heroic poem or an epic, is generally built around a larger than life heroic warrior who is a master both of swordsmanship and stage rhetoric. The hero is almost invariably a king, prince, or an army general. The plot of the play involves the fate of an empire, gallantry, adventure, love, and honor, or the usual theme of heroic plays. The principal conflict faced by the hero is between love and honor. The writers of heroic play aimed at the effect of intensity and sublimity, and were keen to arouse in the audience admiration for more than the specific tragedy, emotion of pity and fear. The diction and words used by them were in accordance with their aim. They mostly used rhymed pentameter, couplet, heroic couplet, which were quilt artificial but could be impressively declamatory for impressing the audience even more. Elaborate stage scenery and even live animal were used by theater manager. Little wonder then if heroic drama managed to rival the sister restoration comedy of manners and popularity. Its principal practitioner, Sir William D. Avenant, the virtue of heroic play lasts throughout the reign of Charles II, that is 1616 to 1685, and even beyond to the early years of the 18th century. Its principal practitioner were John Dryden, Elkanah, Settle, Nat Lee, and Thomas Ottawa. Among the leisure playwright may be mentioned Roger Vale, Earl or Ore, John Crown. Dryden is surely head and shoulders above the rest of the crowd. There is a controversy regarding which is the realest heroic play or tragedy in the history of English drama. There are two contenders for this honor of precedence: the Siege of Rhodes, 1656, by Sir William D. Avenant, and Indian Queen, 1664, by John Dryden and Sir Robert Howard, Dryden's brother-in-law, and critics Dryden Essay and Dramatic Poetry. If strictly speaking, not the first heroic play, the Siege of Rhodes was, in Kazemian's words, in order comma, the germ both the English opera and the heroic tragedy, not comma close. Put up on the stage before the Restoration, when the Puritan were in power and theatre were lying close to popular entertainment, the play was written by the author on a heroic theme with a avowed aim of recommending virtue under the form of lure and conjugal love. The play deal with the Siege of Rhodes and Island of Greece by the Turkish King Solomon and Magnificent. The valor of the Sultan is masked by the conjugal devotion of Lenthe, wife and Sicilian Duke Alfonso, who succeed in saving her husband, and those who are defending the Iceland from the Turkish hordes. The play which may alternatively be called an opera is in rhymed verse which has musical quality, for it is meant for recitation rather than natural dialogue. Another sensational feature of play was its emphasis, something new in the history of English drama, on stage necessaries for creating picturesque effect. Much more was sought by the avenant to be shown than acted out. The besieged town of Rhodes and Turkish camp, the fleets and the port were materially represent the stage itself. Needless to say, the play was very well received by the drama-starved Londoner who had remained without entertainment since 1649, when the theatre were closed by the Puritan regime. Another remarkable feature of the Siege of the Rhodes was the introduction of the actresses to play the role of female dramatist persona. Formerly, such roles were played by boy actor, who or reason of appearance and was could pass for ladies. The new daring step taken by the avenant was welcomed by all and become a norm of the English theatre. In fact, one of the reasons why love is such an important theme of heroic tragedy, as lust is the minor's comedy, is to be found here. The playwrights had to invent suitable role for some accomplished, beautiful and popular actresses who appeared on the scenes, actresses like Lenny Zen and Mr. Very, whose very presence among the players was an assurance of success. They were very successful as beloved and wives of great heroes or the princesses and captive queens courted by noble heroes in a grandiloquent style. John Dryden, The Indian Queen, 1664. Dryden and Howard is the first heroic play, but it cannot be called a tragedy because of its happy ending. The play has almost all the other ingredients of heroic tragedy. Montezuma is an army general of heroic blood in love with a princess whom he ultimately marries, hence the happy ending. The central motive in the play are love and valor. Then there are stuck characters other than the virtuous heroine and the all-conquering honorable heroes, such as the emperor of the remote land and the villain general, the rival contrasting queen and the noble idealist. The rhyming couplet in which the play is caused aim at sublimity and sonority, but often descend into rant and sing-song. Dryden's heroic play are The Indian Emperor, 1665, Tyrannic Love, 1669, The Conquest of Granada, 1617, Amboyana, 1673, Orange Zebe, 1675. Except Tyrannic Love, almost none of these plays can technically be called a tragedy with respect to its ending. But all of them are heroic play, different from the later plays of Dryden, like All for Love, 1677, and Don Sebastian, 1689, which use blank verse rather than rhyme and which avoid the stereotypes of heroic drama. The hero of Tyrannic Love, Maximin, a Roman emperor, has an intensity of passion and ear filling sonority of style which remind one of Marlowe's Tamburlaine. Like Tamburlaine, Maximin dies threatening the gods in heaven. He rants, "And after thee I go, revenging still and following even to the other world my blow, and sawing back this earth on which I sit, I will mount and scatter all of the god I hit." Maximin falls in love with Catherine, the Christian princess of Alexandria, his captive. Catherine, a pious Christian who was sent a letter, reject his love for convert Maximin's wife, Queen Brancis, the Christianity, thus surely provoking him. Both Catherine and the Baroness and the beheaded at Maximin's command. Maximin is soon stabbed to death by one of his officers who is in love with Berenice. The conquest of Granada is, in the words of Sir Burn and Bond, Dryden's most elaborate heroic play. It is in two parts, is comprising five acts. The hero of the play is Almanzor, and a valiant soldier who participates in the battle between the Spaniards on and the Moors over Granada. Almanzor is in love with Almahida, fiance of Baudelaire, the Moorish ruler of Granada. Almanzor remains unsuccessful in his suit for Almahed till the death of Baudelaire, Baudelaire, in the last act. The plot of the play is very complicated, and the frequency with which the hero changes his allegiance between the varying Spaniards and the Moors would put the same event the most seasoned turncoat in an Indian state assembly. Almanzor rent or flamboyant and sometime grotesque, but none can ignore the intensity of his character. When the king guards approach to kill him, he cautions them, "Stand off, I have not leisure to die." Sir Burn and Bond appropriately comment, "Clearly such a man has something." Dryden urges Jeb, though not a heroic tragedy, is a notable heroic play and Dryden's last attempt in the genre. With this play, he bid goodbye to what he called his long-loved mistress Rhyme, and tried his hand at a different kind in blank verse. Urjan Jebe is misrepresented by Dryden as an ideal prince, virtuous, honorable, valiant, and generous as a son, lover, and brother. The captive queen, Endemora, who is loved by his father Shah Jahan and brother Morat, in addition to himself, is won by him after a lot of interviews and complication. The play shows Dryden's maturity. There is much less of rant and more real poetry, which we can find in several reflective passages, such as the following uttered by the hero, beginning, "When I considered life, 'tis all a cheat, at fooled with hope, man favor the deceit. Trust on and think, no thing tomorrow will repay, tomorrow falser than the former day." Kazamian presses arranges Zebe as the most involved of Dryden heroes, the one in whom virtue is endued with the most distinctly psychological quality. Alkanah Settle, ELKANAHSETTLE. Settle was a writer of heroic drama, is chiefly known for his tragedy The Empress of Morocco, 1673. One of the reasons why Dryden gave up writing heroic play after Aurangzeb was the highly undeserved success of Settle's play. The play, according to Sir Burn and Bond, is hardly more absurd than some of Dryden, but its plotting, which concerned the successful interviews of a wicked empress and her lover against her son, is less well-knit than Dryden's work, and its poetry is obviously inferior. This play by Settle was followed by a long satirical wrangle between Dryden and his friend on the one hand and Settle on the other. The last blow was delivered by Dryden, who in the second part of his Absalom and the Achitophel, 1682, pilloried Settle as Doege, Nat Lee. Nutley is described by Bonamy, Dobery and Restoration Tragedy as the most completely heroic of all the outstanding heroic writers. His play, some 10 in number, are in Nicole's words, formless and high satirical. Sunburn and Bond observe his character to raise rather than speak. Situation change with observed rapidity, at times motivation of important deeds is sadly deficient, and there is an almost unvarying high emotional tension. Lee's continuous striving after grandeur and sublimity often yields only fustian and grotesque rent. Dobry says, "There can be no purple patch where all is incarnadinate and humanity itself is drowned in an ocean of verbiage." Of course, there are a few lucid and strangely beautiful passages which proves that Lee had a modicum of poetry in him. But as often Lee exposes himself to ridicule, consider, for example, the last word spoken by King Augustus in Gloriana, "So he went abroad with conquest crown my wars, but racks my spirit with domestic jaws." The word racks and jaws bring before the mind's eye a picture of a kitchen, which I clearly unintentional Lee's impetuosity and torrential rent with a little regard for the ocean and for the identity of the speaker compel on the question his sanity. The words racks and jar bring before the mind eyes a picture of a kitchen, which is clearly unintentional Lee's impetuosity and torrential rent with little regard for the oceans and for the identity of the speaker compel on the question his sanity. And indeed, Lee remained in a madhouse for 5 long years. Lee's best known plays in Revel Queen, 1677, which represents the bloody rivalry between the two wives of Alexander the Great, namely Satyrtira and Roxana. Roxana stabs Satyrtira to death and Alexander is poisoned by the conspirator Cassander, the Thomas Otway. With Otway, heroic drama loses some of its specifically heroic character and accommodated element of pathos and even sentimentalism, which are essentially alien to this spirit. In Otway, we see the last flicker of Elizabethan glory. His best plays are The Orphan, 1680, The Venice Preserved, 1682, both in the blank verse, Otway excel in the delineation of tender scene involving lover and children. Dobry object to his trier mongering, but we can't help admiring his poetic and dramatic powers. Otway paved the way for sentimental comedy of the 18th century. Conclusion: the cult of the heroic drama, which lasted for about 2 decades after the Restoration, was largely a product of French influence. French classical tragedy from Corneille to Racine in the 17th century was emulated by heroic dramatists of England led by Dryden. English heroic drama was extremely artificial both in content and style. It was supposed to be the dramatic form of heroic and epic poetry. The failure of heroic poetry drama was in part due to the radical incompatibility between the content and the form. The former was the over and patently romantic and the latter largely neoclassical. However, even the worst of heroic play has its dazzling splendor and beauty, which arise from the vigor and the energy of expression, howsoever settled and bombastic. The topic, heroic tragedy, over.